Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs.
Welcome to Our House. This is Jonathan Orlow, sitting in for Peter Hunt. This show is brought to you by HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA in Buffalo, Niagara, Rochester, Syracuse, Greater Albany, Utica, Watertown, and Phoenix, Arizona. This show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. Call Hunt Mortgage today at 633-3700 and ask one of our skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest possible rate and closing costs for your particular home financing needs and wants. Also, ask about our many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no cost or risk to you to effectively enter the marketplace to find your next home with cash. That's right, with cash. Call Hunt Mortgage at 633-3700 for personalized, customized, knock-your-socks-off service. Check out our low-rate guarantee. Certain restrictions apply, and details are found on our website, www.huntmortgage.com. Also, don't forget the first-ever 24/7, 365-day real estate hotline. The Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property listed for sale in Buffalo, Niagara, Rochester, Syracuse, Albany, Utica, Watertown, and yes, Phoenix, Arizona, too. Simply dial 631-4800. Enter the street number of the house you want to know about, no matter whose listing it is, any company, and the hotline will prompt you with a choice of street names. Select the street name you want, and you'll hear a brief description of the house, and you'll even be texted a link with detailed website information on that property. All automatically, that fast, anytime, in any market we serve, on any listing, even if it's not a Hunt listing. With the spring real estate market upon us, there's a shortage of homes available in many Western New York neighborhoods and a high number of well-qualified buyers looking to buy a new home. If you or anyone you know has been considering selling a property, now is the time. At Hunt Real Estate, you can list your home for free. That's right, any of our agents can work aggressively on your behalf to market your home for sale to every potential buyer with no out-of-pocket expense for you. As a seller, you pay a commission only if Hunt is successful in finding a buyer who's ready, willing, and able to purchase your home under the terms and conditions that are acceptable to you. In addition, only a Hunt agent will say these words: "We will sell your home or ERA will buy it." That's the seller security plan. Ask about how this can work for you by calling us at 633-9400 or stopping into one of our many open houses this weekend. Hunt Real Estate is also the official provider for relocation for our local professional teams, the Buffalo Bills, Buffalo Sabres, and the Rochester Americans. Our house is broadcasted live on WBEN 930 AM. For those of you who would like to call and participate in today's show, if you have any questions or comments about any aspect of real estate, call us in the studio at 803-0930 or 1-800-616-9236, or you can simply dial *930. These are all free calls, so feel free to join us on the air at any time. I have a very special show for you today. My guest is Robert Blake.
Good morning. Hi, Rob. Jonathan. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. There's a lot to talk about this morning, so I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
I'm glad to have you. I think we're becoming the permanent fill-ins for this show. So hopefully we have a following of listeners
that are
getting to know us.
And if there is someone who wants to call in, please call 716-803-0930. We would love to hear from you guys out there. I want to start off today, Jonathan, by talking we'd be foolish not to talk about how strong the market is and how short we are on properties that are for sale right now and what the buyers out there can do to help strengthen offers. That's the number one thing that we're encountering on a daily basis is there's not enough houses. And when one comes on that's decent, all of a sudden there's 4, 5, 10, 15 offers on these properties. And over again, the question I get from my clients is, how do I get this house? What do I have to do in order to buy this house? Often that's accompanied by, how high do I have to go in order to get this house? So I would like to talk about some of the things that buyers can do to strengthen their offer, increase the likelihood of getting their dream home without necessarily just throwing more money at the sellers. So there's a lot of different things that I do personally. I'm sure there's things that you do with your business as well when it comes to strengthening those offers. First and foremost, it's going to be the terms and conditions. So I want to talk a little bit about those. In a contract, when you're sitting down with someone, we're going over each one of those lines, line by line. Our contract is 13 pages long. So there's a lot of information in there and different things that we can put in. What I like to do, if number one, is I show what is the best offer, what's the greatest offer that a seller can see, and then what's usually going to be the weakest offer that a seller can get. And most people are going to fall somewhere in between that. So best offer, cash offer, at least asking price, if not over. No home inspection, flexible on close. If they can do a quick less than 30-day close, that's usually the ideal for the seller. Other end of the spectrum where you have special financing, gift funds, a contingency where you have to sell a property that's not even listed yet, under asking, very small deposit, and a lot of other extras added on there. So when you're going to be strengthening your offer, it's going to be increasing a level of risk that you're taking on as a purchaser. And that level of risk is going to be determined by how comfortable you are with taking on that risk. First and foremost, is there anything that you recommend to your buyers when submitting an offer?
You know, I think it's a situational basis, and we have to look at how many offers are on the house. I think you bring up a good point that we do have a lot of cash offers that are coming out there. But actually, we had a situation recently where one of our clients went with a VA offer, 100% financing. And technically, that would be a risk to the seller because we'd have to make sure the house completely appraised. But the buyer did write a guarantee and provide a bank statement that any difference in the appraisal, they would make up in cash.
Fantastic.
And I think a buyer giving that reassurance when they have a financed offer really puts the seller's mind at ease.
That's a great one right there. Yeah, letting the seller know that if there is an issue with an appraisal, because that's something that's outside of our control. So the buyers will often say, you know, I'm willing to pay X for a property and it's over asking because there's four, five, six offers on it. And the seller and the seller's agent will tell the seller, listen, and we'll use the example of a $100,000 house with five offers. Buyer says, oh, I'm willing to pay $115. If that house doesn't appraise for $115, whether it should or shouldn't, the buyer doesn't get that loan. So if the house appraises for $110, the buyer says, I'll come out of pocket. I have an extra $5,000 in my account. I will make up that difference. So that's a phenomenal thing. That's a great, great point. Other things that you can do. The home inspection tends to be the biggest one. And that's the one that's going to take on the most risk for the buyer by waiving it. So what I often advise, if you have someone that has a background in construction, if you've got a family member and you have the ability to go through that property, you're not going to get the full 2 hours in there with a regular home inspector. But if you have someone that's going to give you peace of mind to say, you know what, the foundation's good, the roof looks good on this one, furnace is relatively new, hot water tank I really don't care about, they're $500 for a new one, but the bones of the house, the basics of the house are in good, solid condition, you may be comfortable releasing that home inspection. And if you're competing with two or three other people, your offer doesn't have to be the highest offer then, because you've removed the number one thing that will kill most transactions or cause the buyer to want to renegotiate the terms. So that's the big one that I tell people to focus on. If you have someone in your life that you can trust to walk through with you, bring them along. I think it's a great idea.
I think that's the number one thing that people can do right now. Home inspections, it is really the most challenging thing a seller has to get through. It drags us out so long into the process, and for everybody out there listening, it's several days before we have the home inspection into the contract. The seller has multiple offers, they wait for the home inspection to get done, they spend several days negotiating it, and if the deal falls apart, it can be hard to resurrect other buyers.
Absolutely.
So having a buyer that is electing to do no home inspection because they did their homework ahead of time, I think that that's very important. It holds more value than taking a higher offer in some cases.
Also, keeping things moving along quickly, having an agent that's going to be driving this from beginning to end and making sure that we're not leaving the window open too long for things to go awry. So when we get an offer accepted, I try and shorten the dates in the contract, and I tell my clients, be prepared. Call the home inspector. Get the home inspection if you're going to do one set up already. Call your lender. Get it a date that you can have your mortgage application ready to go. If things fall apart before we get to that, you can always cancel those things. But if you're ready to go, it closes that gap, because people will oftentimes cancel contracts. A seller will be told by someone else, geez, you accepted X, we would have given you $5,000 more. And if you don't close that window for them to cancel the contract, you don't have the attorney approval letter in on time. They can just use their attorney approval period to cancel the contract. So pushing it along, making things go quickly, reduces the likelihood of that deal falling through before you get to the next step in the process.
Well, I think having a strong buyer's agent is absolutely critical. It's hard because a lot of agents out there, buyer's agents and seller's agents, they just go by the maximum allotted time within the contract. Mm-hmm. And that's when a lot of things can happen wrong for both of their clients.
Right. Case in point, actually, I'm working with a couple right now, moving here from Rochester, looking in the city, and they had an offer on their house in Rochester that for whatever reason, the buyer's agent let the attorney approval window be 5 days. So in those 5 days, my clients got another offer on their house that was higher. And they said, geez, you know what? We're gonna take advantage of the fact that they're leaving this window open. We're going to cancel our contract with our attorney approval letter. They did and accepted a higher offer. So for them, it really worked out in the seller's position. From the buyer's position, you want to make sure that you get those contracts over to the attorneys and get the approvals ASAP before someone else comes in and steals that house from underneath you.
Now, Rob, one of the things that we're facing in this market a lot is showings will start several days into the listing period and offers won't be accepted on some houses for at least a 5-day period.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do in those cases? Can your buyers get to the front of the line and make offers before that?
Sometimes they can. So one of the fiduciary duties of the agents is disclosure. So if an agent is telling the listing agent's telling the buyer's agent, we're not listening to offers until next week Tuesday or next week Wednesday, you could still submit that offer, and they, according to our code of ethics, have to notify the seller of that offer unless the listing agent and the seller have already signed a non-disclosure agreement. So that's one of the things that I'll ask from a listing agent when I say, okay, I have an offer, I sent it over to you, and they say, well, I'm not presenting until Wednesday, then I'll ask them for a copy of it. If they don't have that, then they have to submit the offer. And if the offer is a strong offer, and when you're doing something like this, you're not coming in at $10,000 under asking to beat the rush. You're coming in with at least an asking price offer, if it could be justified, if not over, in order to entice the seller to say, you know what, I'm going to cancel that open house. I like this offer. It's a strong, solid offer. I don't know if I can get more than $10,000 over or something along those lines. So doing something like that will have your offer potentially be heard and accepted before anybody else can.
And you know what? I think it's really important for buyer's agents to always clarify that with a listing agent. And I know that's something that you do in your business practice mm-hmm. all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's so valuable because there's so many sellers who say, you know, verbally they're going to wait until after an open house to listen to offers. But when they have an offer and they know that there's one out there, they want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a very strong offer, they don't want to risk losing that buyer, especially in this market when we have more listings coming available.
If anyone out there's had this experience when they're putting an offer in, please call in 716-803-0930. We'd love to hear from you. Other things that you can do to strengthen the offer. That was a great one. Anything else that you particularly recommend to your clients when submitting an offer?
I always think the personal letter from the buyer to the seller.
Beautiful.
When people are selling their houses, it's truly an emotional connection.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen sellers sell their homes for tens of thousands, less than the highest offer, because they really related to the people and they wanted to have them get their house.
That's right.
But I think it's having the right balance of complimenting the seller on their home, letting them know that you're going to be taking care of it. There's people who have built their homes, lived there, raised their families, been there for decades. And money isn't always a factor for those people.
It's true. I mean, there's houses that this is where mom baked cookies and made spaghetti dinner every Sunday. And now we have to sell her house for one reason or another. And you come in and say, this is where I'm going to raise my family. I would be honored to continue to love and maintain this home as well as you and your family have for the past 40 years. Please give us this opportunity. Something like that absolutely is taken into consideration. And I've experienced the same thing. Properties getting sold for less than higher offers because it's a flipper who wants to just redo the house and then sell it versus the family who wants to grow in there for the next several decades. So that's a great one. Another one that I like to do is inflate the deposit. The deposit is your good faith payment saying, I'm a serious buyer. I'm not going to walk away. It's saying, I have skin in the game. So typically a deposit, say a $100,000 house, what do you usually recommend if you're not competing? What would you say for a deposit would be a fair amount?
Minimum 3,000?
Yeah, somewhere in that range. I tell people around 3,000 is showing a good buyer. Now, if you had 5-6 offers on that, you might want to say, I'm going to put down $5,000 or $7,000 or $10,000. That's a lot of money to put down. So it's showing that, listen, I am very serious. Now, that money for the buyer, that's just coming right back to you. That's money that's coming off your closing costs. You are risking more money if things do go sideways on it. Your money's tied up until you would get it back. But as long as you're serious, if you're moving forward and you're intending on buying this house, put it out there. Show, hey, I love this house. I'm serious. I'm putting a lot of money down to say I'm not going to walk away from this offer. And again, that's money that's coming right off your closing costs. So if your closing costs were going to be $12,000 and you put $10,000 down, the day you close, you're writing a check for $2,000. That $10,000 is coming right back to you. I think it's a great thing to do. It shows strength and it costs you nothing.
I think that's critical to do because in a lot of price ranges, we have offers that are just a couple thousand dollars apart.
Right.
You know, in that $100,000 range.
Yeah.
You're not going to see the house sell $50,000 over asking, but there's going to be several offers, maybe between $100,000 and $110,000. And to have that high deposit, I think the seller and the listing agent are going to say, wow, this is someone we might want to go back to
right.
and counter if their offer's a little bit lower mm-hmm. or someone we might just want to go with flat out.
Right. Another thing that I like to do in my contracts, there's a portion right on the 8th page of the contract where you can just write things in. You're asking for something, you're offering something. In that section, if the purchaser is willing to, let the seller make it as easy on the seller as possible. If they want to leave the lawn furniture behind, if they don't want to clean out the basement, I, purchaser, will take on that responsibility. I'll do that for you because I want to strengthen my offer. I'm willing to do a little bit extra work and say, okay, this is going to be as stress-free on you as I possibly can make it.
I think that's critical because you see a lot of people who are in estate situations
yeah.
where maybe they're selling mom and dad's house. They live out of the area, and they mm-hmm. just don't have the time to clean out the house.
Yeah.
And for the buyer, they don't mind doing that.
Right.
Even for a lot of investors, too. You have those flipper clients.
Yeah, exactly right.
And they're competing against the homeowners who, you know, say they want to take care of the house and live there forever. But the investor can strengthen their offer by saying, listen, we're going to take it as is. We will clean it out. You can get everything you want out of the house and then leave the rest for us. We do have a caller on the line. We have Rick. Hi, Rick.
You there, Rick? Wait, did we lose Rick? Oh, God.
I think we did.
Rick, I hope you're okay. If you are, call back.
Okay, so still going on. Again, you know, with the investors, I think it's very hard in this marketplace to be able to buy houses to flip. Because there are so many owner-occupants that
yeah.
I'm finding that are buying those foreclosure houses.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the owner-occupant bidding periods in the estate situations.
That's right.
Families want to see their houses go to people who are going to live there. So I think it's getting more and more challenging for people who want to flip or invest in Buffalo to find properties.
Yeah, it used to be when I was talking to my clientele when they want to buy a house that if you're competing against a flipper, they're coming in with cash, no home inspection, so it's going to be difficult for you. But now the pendulum has swung the other way. The investors are the ones who are finding themselves behind the eight ball because the purchasers are intending on living in that house and fixing it up and making this their home. So they're coming out with high offers. So even though the flipper has cash, no home inspection, their offer's $20,000 less. And for that large of a discrepancy, the seller's willing to roll the dice, say, yeah, I'd rather have the 20 grand. We'll see what happens with financing and things like that. So absolutely, it's a great point.
What other challenges do you see right now, Rob, with multiple offers and other things that buyers can do to strengthen their offers?
It's like you said, to show that the purchaser themselves is well qualified, and that's going to come not only with the large deposit, but the letter explaining who they are. We've been looking for a house for a while. We're a stable person or a couple and that's in that letter too. That we're coming from a background where we're invested in the community, things like that. To let the seller know that it's not just someone who's just kind of fumbling their way through this process. They've been working with their agent. We have the number one thing, the pre-approval in place, showing that our financing has already been taken care of. We have our credit already pulled on it. We've already submitted our tax returns. So when it comes to apply for the mortgage, we are very, very confident that we're going to be approved.
I think we have another call. We're going to try to get the phones working here. We have Nick. Nick, are you there?
Good morning.
Hi, Nick.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. What's going on?
Well, I have an income property in Chickawaga, and it's zoned commercial. I've owned it for many years. It's free and clear, and there's three units in there. One's an old mom-and-pop storefront. So it's a mixed-use property in the middle of a residential neighborhood.
Okay.
And my question to you is, if I want to sell that property, I can increase the value by somehow changing the zoning to residential. And I know this has to do with, you know, whatever the laws are in Chickawaga, but that is something I can do, right? I could...
Well, I think, Nick, if you left the property mixed use, I think it would give more options for potential buyers because they could retain that commercial space. And then are there apartments above it?
Yeah, it's two apartments and a little bitty old-fashioned storefront.
Yeah, Nick, I agree with Jonathan. I would leave it as is. I wouldn't try and remove that that commercial space because that's very attractive. It's giving more options to potential purchasers. They have the residential income coming in, whether the storefront is leased out or not. And some people, they want to use that storefront for a business for themselves, use one of the rental units upstairs as potentially an office for their business, and then rent out another space as well. I would prefer to leave it as is. Have you tried to market it at all yet, Nick?
Well, that's exactly what I did when I bought it 25 years ago. I put my store in the front, and I had it there for 20 years.
There you go.
Upstairs, so I hear what you're saying. But it also, it makes the pool of buyers much smaller. See, now I'm just going to be dealing with real estate investors.
You know what? I think it's going to make it bigger because yeah. Rob and I actually have our barber. we go to the same barber, and he's been looking for a spot, and a lot of small businesses – where they can buy a multi-unit structure, have their business on the first floor, and have the apartments above pay their rent.
It so really helps, yeah.
I think that's very desirable to have.
Having a business, obviously, there's risk involved in it. So having the additional added income, just in case business takes a year or two to get off the ground, is a huge benefit. So, Nick, my advice before I'd start rezoning and paying all that money and potentially losing value is I'd market it as is. And if you have an issue then, you can always address it after the fact.
I gotcha.
So good luck with it, Nick. Thanks for calling in.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. We're getting towards the last few minutes before we take a break. I want to remind callers that they can call us here in the studio by dialing *930 or calling 803-0930. We have some callers on the line that we're going to be talking with shortly after the break. This is Jonathan Orlo and Rob Blake with Hunt Real Estate, and we'll be right back to you with more from Our House to Yours after these messages.
If you're a homeowner age 62 or older, you owe it to yourself to look into a reverse mortgage. Reverse mortgages give seniors many different options to access the equity in their home. There's even a reverse mortgage for purchase available. For more information, call Karen Johnson, a reverse mortgage specialist at Hunt Mortgage at 633-3700 or visit huntmortgage.com. Karen Johnson, NMLS number 485939. Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Jonathan Orlo, sitting in for Peter Hunt. Our House is brought to you by HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is easier for your homeownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is the only place on the web for a complete inventory of homes available in Buffalo, Niagara, Rochester, and Syracuse. You'll also find access to a complete set of homeownership services at HuntRealEstate.com. HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA, in Buffalo, Niagara, Rochester, Syracuse, Utica, Watertown, and Phoenix, Arizona. This show is brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. For more information about our exclusive program that allows you to roll in the cost of home improvements into your mortgage, allowing you to buy the before and live the after, call 633-3700 and ask for details. Also ask about our pre-purchase commitment and even our warm home loan, which will allow you to get a new furry friend paid for by Hunt. Call Hunt Mortgage at 633-3700 for more details on all of these programs. For those of you who want to pick up the phone and talk to somebody from Hunt Real Estate, call us at 633-9400. One of our customer service representatives can instantly direct you to the right professional for your needs. Buying or selling a home, financing, insuring, or even home improvements. We can help with all of that. Remember, our guarantee stands. We will sell your home or ERA will buy it. That's the Seller Security Plan, available only through a Hunt Real Estate ERA agent. I'm in the studio with Rob Blake.
Hello.
Hi, Rob.
Hello, hello.
Okay, we have Rick on the line.
Rick's back.
I'm back.
Hi, Rick.
How are you today?
Good. Sorry for the phone mishap. We're glad we have you. What's going on?
Not a problem. I have. I tuned in late, so my apologies. But can you clarify something you gentlemen were talking about, making the offer stronger by having a contractor or a family member look at a house in place of a licensed home inspector? How does that work?
It's not really in place. I mean, you're taking on risk from a buyer's perspective. Obviously, a state licensed home inspector that's going to go through a property from top to bottom over the course of an hour and a half to 3 hours is going to give you should give you the best working knowledge of the mechanics and the structure. But in this market, if you are a purchaser that is in a position to or willing to take on some risk and has someone that can thoroughly examine the major mechanics of the house, like foundation, roof. I usually tell people if this is a route they want to go, look at the big things, the safety concerns, number one, and then the very expensive things. So we're looking things for a Federal Pacific electrical panel that's been known to cause house fires, looking at the wiring, looking at the foundation walls, making sure there's no bowing or cracking, looking at the roof and making sure there's no squatting of the roof or the roof rafters aren't pulling away from our ridge plate in the center, things like that. You can usually get about an hour in a property for a showing. So if you have someone who has a very good working knowledge of that of construction and those different systems, they can go through it for you. And instead of doing all the pageantry of a typical home inspection where the home inspector is sitting there explaining every little detail to a client and putting it in a book and writing up an official report, if you have someone who can do all those things and then convey to you, hey, listen, this is what you're going to have to do. The furnace is 30 years old. Looks like it might need to be swapped out. The hot water tank had a little leak around it, and some of this wiring in here is questionable. Are you willing to take on that risk? Yeah, sure, okay. Well, then you can put it out without the home inspection. That's what we're basically saying.
Right, and I get what you're saying from your end, but my only thing, that situations I've been involved in where a buyer had Uncle Joe or even a very good contractor in Western New York, but not licensed, and that person comes up with an issue, and now that buyer presents that issue to the listing agent.
Uh-huh.
The listing agent says, well, he's not a licensed home inspector. We can't accept it.
I think it depends what the issue is. You know, if that contractor...
That's very poor advice you're giving your people. They should never waive a home inspection. Everybody, just because you're a roofing contractor, doesn't mean you know about electrical grounding and whatnot.
Well, Rick, I think it depends on the specific issues with the house, the age of the home, because we wouldn't want somebody to not do an inspection.
Absolutely not, no. We want someone to not do an inspection, and that's up to the purchaser for the level of risk that they're willing to take on, because there are people who are out there that say, you know what, I'm gonna imagine if the furnace is shot, I'm willing to replace a furnace. It's a $3,500 ticket item or a $4,500 for me to take this on, and I'm willing to take on that risk because I love this house. This is in the neighborhood that I want to be within, and I'm willing to accept that the fleas come with the dog here, and if the furnace is fine, it's fine, but as long as the agent is conveying to them, there could be unforeseen things. And also, you have to bear in mind that no person, whether a state licensed home inspector or an electrician or a contractor, is going to find every little thing wrong with the house. We can't open up walls.
Agreed.
We can't damage the property. So it's a visual inspection, Rick.
Agreed 100%. No one will get every little thing.
Correct.
Trained professional, a full-time home inspector, which I am, will give the best picture of that property. I can't tell you how many people have called me after they purchased, after they moved in, I waived my home inspection and I'm into the money pit now. Can you please look at it now? Bad advice you're giving people. I hope your viewers don't listen. And thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome, Rip. Thanks for calling in. I do agree. Rick is correct that there is a level of risk that you're taking on. As long as you have someone that is going to be thorough. And to be 100% honest, I've seen home inspectors that overlooked major things. There are home inspectors that are better than others. Some home inspectors just aren't very good at their job, just like some realtors are not very good or any other profession. There's going to be people who are better than others. This is something that a purchaser is deciding to take on. We're not advising someone to waive a home inspection. We're saying if you were in a position where you find yourself competing, you love the home, and you have someone who does have a very good working knowledge, or even have a home inspector, is something else I've also advised people to do. Have your home inspector come with you to a showing. That's absolutely something that you can do. You have that property for an hour. If your home inspector can be thorough and go through that property quickly and get everything that he needs to get and then convey that to you afterwards instead of right at the home inspection, they sit down at Tim Hortons, have a cup of coffee later on. Absolutely. Have a home inspector, a state licensed home inspector that you trust, go with you to that property and go through it. And then you can put your offer in, waiving the home inspection, knowing full well you've already done your home inspection. I have people do that as well. So it doesn't have to be Uncle Joe going through, as Rick had mentioned. It could be Rick. Rick could go through with that buyer.
And I think it's really house specific, because we've had homes, we had one a couple weeks ago listed in our office in the town of Tonawanda. Two of the buyers had full home inspections. It was a first-time buyer scenario, and they were fine with paying that upfront cost to really strengthen their offers.
Sure.
But if it was a house, and even in myself personally with some situations, I purchased a home where I knew I was going to be gutting it, that I was going to be ripping out the windows, the siding, the furnace, the kitchens, the bathrooms, the plumbing. The house was a complete redo, so I went in with no home inspection.
Because what does it matter?
And went through with my general contractor because I was going to be gutting the house.
Exactly.
And in those situations, if you're a house flipper, if you're going to be doing the work on your house and you know that you're going to be gutting it, I think it's fine to have contractors come through and look at it. But again, it's a personal decision. We don't tell people, don't have an inspection, but we advise people on all of the options that are available to
them. That's our job. Full disclosures, we have to give you every one of your options that we can think of and give you the pros and cons. It's the risks and the rewards. What are you willing to take on? What's the potential reward? So it's exactly right.
And I believe in a home inspection for every type of scenario to protect the buyers. I did a home inspection when I purchased a condominium unit. I was worried about the electrical within it. It was a 1920s building in the city, and I found out a lot through having that home inspection.
Yeah, that can be invaluable.
Because I wasn't able to change the electric. It was central to the building. I wanted to know it was okay and had the capacity for the remodel I was doing within that condo. But other situations, when I had purchased a single-family home, knowing that I was going to be doing the work, I was okay with taking the risk to ensure I got the house.
Right, right.
We have another call. Mark. Hi, Mark.
Good morning. Thanks for taking the call.
Hi, Mark. How you doing?
Okay, really well. On this issue of home inspections, I have a quick question for you.
Yes, sir.
If you give up the home inspection and simply purchase the house, and then, say, within the next month or so, you discover some really serious problems that have been covered over, do you have any rights to go against the seller?
It depends. So usually attached to a standard listing, there's going to be a property condition disclosure statement.
Okay.
And the seller fills that out, and that's basically asks them a number of in-depth questions about the property. And they have to answer that honestly. If a seller intentionally is negligent, intentionally covers something, a problem up that is not discoverable through a visual inspection and they're aware of it, then if you're able to prove it, then you can absolutely sue the seller post-closing. That's your right as a purchaser. So if it's not something that can be seen in a visual inspection, a home inspector would not be able to catch that either. If they covered something up, they buried some wires in the wall or something, the home inspector is not allowed to punch holes in drywall and things like that. But if you're doing a remodel and all of a sudden you find old wiring dangling in the walls, as we often do, and you are able to prove that the seller remodeled that bathroom and they're the ones who actually left that, then you could go back to them and potentially sue them.
Then that, of course, involves hiring an attorney to take care of it.
Yes, sir.
Very good. Thank you for the information.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call, Mark.
Yep.
Thanks, Mark.
I know.
I think one of the critical things that we just mentioned here is the property condition disclosure statement. The seller has to state to their best knowledge the condition of all of the mechanical and structural systems within the house.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you have a home inspection, there could be concealed defects that take place. And we do see this from time to time. As an agent and as an office manager, One of the biggest concerns that I have, and I know it sounds crazy, is finished basements.
Me too.
When I see a finished basement, I get nervous myself when I'm in the buyer's shoes because you can't see the walls.
And I know it does add value. People say, well, this would have cost me $10,000 or $15,000. I'd rather have them finish the basement themselves. We can do a visual inspection of the exterior of the walls, look for any bowing or cracking on the outside. But what's exposed? A couple feet of the top of the foundation wall. Who knows if there's a horizontal crack that's running 10 feet against one of the walls that's covered up by drywall. And that's impossible to detect if you can't actually get back there and see it. So that's another risk that you take on, whether you have an inspection or not. When you buy a home, there's going to be risk. That's it. When you buy anything, there's going to be risk. Because a home is a very expensive item, you're going to be assuming more risk no matter what you do.
And I think it's very hard because I have heard scenarios where purchasers have had a home inspection, they've done their due diligence, they buy a house with a finished basement, and then they decide to make modifications and they notice a crack in the wall.
Yep.
Then they start unfinishing the basement, and then it turns out that the basement needs a lot of repairs.
Yeah.
In that situation, the seller wasn't probably aware
it could be,
that the house had those issues.
Sure. If they bought it with a finished basement themselves, they may not have been aware either.
Okay, we're coming up on our next break. We'll be back for more from our house to yours after these messages.
If you're a homeowner age 62 or older, you owe it to yourself to look into a reverse mortgage. Reverse mortgages give seniors many different options to access the equity in their home. There's even a reverse mortgage for purchase available. For more information, call Karen Johnson, a reverse mortgage specialist at Hunt Mortgage at 633-3700 or visit huntmortgage.com. Karen Johnson, NMLS number 485939. Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Jonathan Orlow with Hunt Real Estate, filling in for Peter Hunt. I'm sitting in the studio with Rob Blake.
Hello, everybody.
Rob, one of the things that I was thinking about when we're discussing strengthening offers, it's the whole issue of the closing. Some buyers think that having a quick closing is going to be really appealing to the seller, mm-hmm. but that's not always the case.
No, it's not.
I think in this market, what a lot of agents maybe forget or overlook, they think they want to make the house look really attractive and the deal that they're going to close very fast, but sometimes sellers need time to find suitable housing.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you accommodate that, Rob, for your clients?
When I'm working with the buyers,
mm-hmm.
I put right into I actually will put a top sheet on with any of my offers that I'm submitting, whether I'm doing it in person or submitting it via email. And right in the closing, I'll notify us. Here's the date we put in the contract, but we're flexible on that. If your seller needs more time, we can give them more time. Obviously, we have that discussion with the purchaser first. And we also can say if they need a lot more time, if they're looking for housing, we can even still close and do a rent back and basically allow the seller to remain in the property post-closing and pay basically rent back to the purchaser. If a purchaser is in a position to do that and willing to then take on that risk, because then you're going to be a landlord for a little while and you have to put a finite time period on that and say, by this certain day and time, we would need you to vacate the property. Still giving that cushion to a seller to say, okay, we're not closing for 60 days and we're going to give you an additional 30 days. So you don't have to be out in 45 to 60. We can give you up to 90 days to find a house. All of a sudden your offer is far more attractive to that seller.
And I think that's a critical thing, and I know you do this acting as a buyer's agent, is communicating with the listing agent to find out what the seller's needs and wants are
mm-hmm.
as far as a closing.
Yeah, talk.
You know, has the seller been relocated and they want a fast closing?
Mm-hmm.
Great. We can tie the buyer up with Hunt Mortgage and close extremely quickly. But if the seller needs time to find suitable housing or if they're building a house
mm-hmm.
and that buyer has flexibility, it makes all the difference in the world
mm-hmm.
to the seller so they don't have to move two times.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other caveats with this that I want to point out for our listeners is if the buyer gets into the position that they're a landlord for the previous seller, we make sure that there's legal agreements in place that attorneys draw up,
yep.
rental agreements, that there's some type of security deposit.
Mm-hmm.
And this is typically a positive experience because on the back end, we've done so many things proactively to make sure that the new owner of the house is able to get the previous owner to leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always a concern. It's another one of those things that we were taking on is that risk. Risk is always in the background of any one of these purchases, and the more you're able to take on, usually the stronger your offer will be, and we try and mitigate that risk as best we can. Just wanted to point out one very important thing, what I feel the absolute number one thing that a purchaser can do when it comes to having a strong offer, starts with getting the right agent, getting the right realtor to represent you, that knows the market and knows all these things, that doesn't need to be coached through the whole process, understands the value of every one of these terms and conditions, has the wherewithal to contact the listing agent prior and talk to them and find out what the seller's wants and needs are. What is their timetable? Do they want to leave things behind? And try and figure out, is this mom and dad's house? Will the letter be helpful? Sometimes the letter is not helpful. And you can ask a listing agent, is this a good situation? Maybe we have a couple going through a divorce, and the last thing they want to hear is some other happy couple is going to be grabbing this house that they were planning on spending the rest of their lives together in. It could actually be a detriment. And I've had that happen. So having an agent that has the foresight to say, what does this seller want? What are we up against? What's happening? And then knowing the process, knowing how to get these things done quickly and shortening the time frame if need be, or closing those windows. So that's a great idea for anybody starting the process. Get a good realtor.
Okay, we have another caller on the line. We have Jim from South Buffalo. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, I live in South Buffalo. I was thinking of selling my home, but I know there's a lot of little idiosyncrasies with the house. Who covers the home inspector? Who pays for it, the buyer or the seller?
That's a great question, Jim. It's the purchaser. The purchaser has the right to do a home inspection. Oftentimes people ask, well, what if the house fails the home inspection? Home inspections aren't a pass-fail kind of thing. The home inspection is done for the purchaser's knowledge so they can gauge what the property may or may not need, the condition that the property is in. Now, some people, if they see a dripping faucet, they say, that's it, I'm walking away. Or this receptacle is not grounded, and I don't want to buy the house. I'm afraid of major electrical issues. Other people will say, I'll put a new faucet in, and I'll have my electrician stop by and swap this out and put a new piece of Romex in here and get this taken care of. It's not a big deal. It's going to be a couple hundred bucks. I'm not losing this $300,000 house for $200 worth of repairs. So it's all the level, the buyer's perspective of what they're looking for. So from the homeowner's standpoint, obviously it's always going to be a concern on what the home inspector may or may not say and how the purchaser may perceive what the home inspector is saying. Some home inspectors can scare the heck out of the buyer over small things. And then you have sometimes have buyers that get scared easily over things that they probably should overlook. A little bit of peeling paint around a door isn't something that I would say you should run away from a house from. It's something you should scrape paint and move on. But as far as the seller standpoint, what you could do, Jim, is you could get a pre-inspection. You could have a home inspector come through your home and point out all these little things that may come up as the result of an inspection or an appraisal. That gives you a better working knowledge of your home and at least gives you the ability to repair these things that you think could end up causing the deal to fall apart after you've already come to contract. It gives you power. It gives you leverage. It lets you know what you can do to increase the value and maintain the value of your home.
Okay. In order to get a mortgage, do you usually have to have a home inspection?
No. The bank is going to send out an appraiser. So you basically have a couple of safety nets as a buyer that you can build into your contract. The first one is that home inspection. The second is the appraisal. Now, the appraisal is not going to be nearly as thorough as the home inspection, but the bank appraiser carries more weight with it because they're the ones who say whether that buyer can get the house or not to get the financing. So the appraiser comes in. They're not only looking for value of the home. They want to justify that the sale price is what the actual market value of the property is, so the bank is not giving a loan for more than what the house is worth, but they're also going to look for safety concerns. And depending on that type of financing, for instance, an FHA is going to be far more critical of things like peeling paint or handrails or an outlet that's near a source of water that's not GFCI protected. A conventional appraisal will overlook some of those smaller things and they won't be an issue. So financing is going to be important from the appraisal standpoint.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for calling in, Jim.
We have another caller, Kevin. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. How you doing, Kevin?
Good. Great. Thanks for a great show. Really appreciate it. I just wanted to point out quickly that I think most of us in the listening audience understood Jonathan's point about unique situations with respect to home inspection, that I think the advice was more about these unique times in the market and helping, you know, buyers like ourselves get a leg up. So I don't think it was bad advice, actually, and we appreciate it. And I think it was more about unique situations than it was a universal approach. So thanks.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
Yes, absolutely.
Really appreciate that. Thank you for calling in.
All right. You guys take care, and thanks again for a great show.
Thanks,
Kevin.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So there you go. I mean, that's case in point. It is situational, obviously. It's going to depend on the purchaser. It's going to depend on the property. It's going to depend on a number of different factors, offers that are coming in. All those things come into play. So, again, we'll just reiterate. We are not advising anybody to waive a home inspection. What we're saying is you have the opportunity to waive a home inspection if you so choose, and it could strengthen your offer, and we would be not doing our job. It'd be irresponsible if we did not tell somebody, these are your options. We have to give you all of your options as a purchaser.
Rob, one of the things I wanted to bring up really quick while we have the opportunity to reach so many people on the air, do you have any clients looking for specific homes? If there's a listener out there that's maybe has a house in a price range where you have buyers looking?
I wish that I could say that there's a specific range or place, but right now, because we are so starved for inventory, I have buyers looking for homes that are in the $100,000 range up to the $550,000 range in the city, in Snyder, in Williamsville, in Lancaster, all over. We are actively working with, right now my team alone is working with, I'm going to say, at least 15 to 20 different buyers on a weekly basis showing properties. So we're out there looking. I do also want to mention that I currently have one on the market that just came on in Williamsville at 49 full. A very nice 1,400 plus square foot single family house we have on for $179,900 that we're being, it's going to be held open tomorrow, Sunday, between 1 and 3. So anyone looking in that area, it's a great spot right off Main Street, nice little small street, great neighborhood. Please stop by and say hello to my buyer specialist, Amber Bidet. She'd love to show you the house.
You know what? That's a fabulous house. Very charming, mm-hmm. Great location, awesome price. What's the address again for
it's
our clients?
It's 49 Full, P-F-O-H-L, and that's, again, in Amherst. I also have a nice rental, 1,400-square-foot property right in the city on Amherst that's on for $1,100 a month. It's a great spot to be. It's you're right there in North Buffalo, centrally located in between Elmwood Village and the Hurdle Strip. It's a nice spot to be.
And, Rob, if people out there want to reach you directly for advice, how can they get a hold of you?
Please call me on my cell at 716-225-6273, or you can always email me at robertblake@theRobertBlakeTeam.
For people that are out there, if they'd like to get a hold of me, Jonathan Orlow, my cell number is 716-997-0046. And my email is entirely too long to spell out. So you can text me or email me. That huntrealestate.com domain is quite long. But I think the message we want to get out to people is that we have buyers and sellers, clients in so many different areas. So if you're looking for a specific home, we may have a seller that we know who is willing to sell their house or getting it ready to sell. If you're somebody out there and you're questioning if you want to make a downsize or perhaps you want to move out of state, we can help you. And I think what's very unique about Rob Blake as an agent and being his manager for a couple years now is that he sells truly anywhere in Western New York. Erie County, Niagara County, and beyond. He puts so many miles on driving all over the place every day with people in his car that he's just really a fantastic resource.
One of the other things, thank you very much, Jonathan. I appreciate that. One of the things that I do want to just very quickly say, I mentioned earlier that the number one thing is getting a good agent to represent you who knows the system. Anybody out there who has been thinking about getting into real estate, Hunt Real Estate has, without question, the best training program out there. There are a lot of agents that are bad out there. So it's important that you get the guidance, that you get the structure, and you get the help that you need from day one. Success in this business is extremely challenging without having a team to support you. So having a place like Hunt to come to, having someone like Jonathan Orlow that's going to guide you through the process. I come to him on a near weekly basis. I've been doing this for a long time, and I still have to reach out to him and other people in our office on a weekly basis and say, have you encountered this? How would you handle this? Have a sit down, talk about things, and get phenomenal advice. So if you've ever thought about getting into real estate, what a great time it is to get into real estate. And Jonathan, do you want to give your cell phone number one more time? Anybody thinking about becoming an agent?
Yes, my cell phone number is 716-997-0046. I'd be happy to talk to any of the listeners about the licensing process and all of the tools and trainings that we have at Hunt.
And I want to thank everyone for calling in today. Some phenomenal questions. There's really great topics here today. I'm glad that we had difference of opinions on some people calling in. It really makes the show a lot better. So thank you to everyone who called in today and expressing their opinion and sharing some of their stories. If anyone has any other questions or needs any other thing in real estate, please call me at 716-225-6273.
Please think of your questions for next week. We're going to have another great show. Thank you for joining us today on Our House. Thank you, Rob, from the Metropolitan Hunt office for your insights today. This is Jonathan Orlo from Hunt Real Estate. And remember, when it comes to real estate in Western New York, it's Hunt Country.